Well, it seems like it's been a million years since I did this in here. Man. Tell him. No, and know when the book will just stay open. Actually, it's about the nicest day we've had. Now that we're inside. Look at this wind. Making me feel at home, Sue. There you go. For those of you that can't see, Sue's trying to fan me to give me some wind here. Yeah, believe me, I do not miss it. But, you know, it's things like that, though, that give you something to remember. You know, one day you look back and you go, wow, man, I got blown away in a hurricane out there. And so, but anyway, we will persevere. Pentecost 2020. Today is Pentecost Sunday. And it was intentional on the part of a lot of churches to begin having services once again on this day. And it was, I was really kind of wanting to do it sooner, but seemed like a good place to start once again. And I'm going to be talking about that today. You know, Pentecost 2020, what is God doing? And the verses that I'm preaching out of today mostly is Acts chapter 2, excuse me, verses 1 through 4. And I'll just start with the first verse. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. So this passage is on Pentecost Sunday. And what we need to understand is at the point of this day of Pentecost, back in Acts, that was probably about the 1500th one. Okay, you need to understand Pentecost was it was a big day for the Jews. And we're going to look at that today and why it is a big day for us as well. And so for 1500 years, they have been celebrating Pentecost. And there are some similarities between what was going on then at the time that this particular Pentecost took place and what we're going through right now, today, 2020, Pentecost Sunday. Think about this. They were, in a sense, quarantined. They were unsure of what was going to happen next. They were unsure as to how long it was going to last. You know, they were told to wait, and I'll get into that in a second. They didn't know what the new normal was going to be. Yeah, remember, they were following Jesus for 3 years, and they had sold out, you know, given up their careers, given up everything to follow him. Now, all of a sudden, and he'd been telling them, you know, he'd been telling them, they're going to crucify me, you know, they're going to, you know, I'm going to be gone, and I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. You know, they told, but they still didn't get it. And then he was crucified, and he died, and he rose again, and he was with them for 40 days. And then he ascended into heaven, and he said, go wait for me. In fact, it says, while he was together with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise. This, he said, is what you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so they were basically quarantined. They went back to the upper room, and they're waiting. And they're like, what does that mean, baptized with the Holy Spirit? You know, what, you know, Jesus is gone. What's this going to be like? You know, and it's kind of like where we're at today in Pentecost. You know, we're in a sense quarantined. I mean, we got a little more freedom now, but I mean, for a time there, it was ridiculous. And we don't know how long this is going to last or what it's going to look like when it's over or, you know, all these things. But they did have some instructions. And it says, and they were continually united in prayer, along with the women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. That's in Acts 1:14. So they didn't just go hang out in quarantine and wait. You know, they were in prayer. They were looking for something from God. And they might have been asking, what is God doing? Or what is God going to do? And I have to say, I'm wondering what God is going to do. What's things going to look like? What's it going to look like for the church? What is going to look like for us as individuals if persecution comes? And don't think that it might not come. We're already being persecuted more than I've ever seen. We're being singled out, the church is. And so what should we be doing? So what should we be doing? And that's really what I'm leading up to in these four verses in chapter 2. And so it's, first of all, this is a time for the church to reflect. For the church to reflect. You know, I've had, you know, in this time, in these 3 months or so, whatever it's been, you know, people are reflecting. They're like, wow, you know, what's going on here? And I've had people talk to me about Revelation and things like that. And, you know, what is this? You know, is this the tribulation? Is this whatever? You know, and there's a lot of people thinking about God right now. We've had more people tuning in to our streaming and YouTube channels and all that because it's gotten people's attention. You know, and the church needs to reflect. And so we're going to look at that. And so what we're going to reflect on today, this morning, is this Pentecost that happened about 2,000 years ago, right after Jesus ascended to be with the Father. We're going to reflect on that and then kind of look at the church, our church. I'm not looking at, what are we to do after this time of reflection, okay? And so first of all, verse 1, an appropriate Sunday. An appropriate Sunday. The day of Pentecost had arrived. They were all together in one place. So for us to understand what this is about, you got to understand what Pentecost was about. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about right now. First of all, Penta, like Pentagon, okay? The Pentagon, why is it called the Pentagon? It's got five sides, okay? So Penta, 5 or 50, and so it's the Pentecost was 50 days after Easter, okay? So this is the 50th day. May 31st, 2020 is the 50th day, if you look on the calendar, after Easter, April 12th, I believe it was. And so today is the day of Pentecost. It always was celebrated 50 days after Passover, okay, when in the Jewish times, because obviously Easter hadn't happened yet, right? So, but this one was the first Pentecost after Jesus Christ had died, rose again, and ascended to the Father. Now, what happened on Pentecost? Well, they would take individual grains of corn, and they would grind them into flour, and they would add oil and leaven. And they would bake 2 loaves of bread. And they would offer that to the Lord along with 7 perfect lambs, a young bullock, which is like a young cow, and 2 rams for a burnt offering. And these are all symbolic. Okay? The oil, and most of you probably know, oil is usually a symbol in the Bible for the Holy Spirit. When you're anointed with oil, you're anointed with the Holy Spirit. It's that kind of thing. Oil is the Holy Spirit. Now, what's leaven in the Bible? Sin. That's why when we do communion and we're representing the broken body of Christ, we use what? Unleavened bread. Why? Because Christ had no sin. He never sinned. He was the one person that ever lived that never committed a sin. But what is unusual about this offering is they added leaven to it. There was oil with this flour that they made out of individual little kernels of corn. They would add oil, Holy Spirit. They would add leaven, sin. And then the sacrifices, 10 in all, okay, 10 symbolizing perfection, completion. But here's the thing. Most offerings in the Bible were unleavened. God commanded unleavened bread, unleavened. Why? Because we're representing Christ. But you see, this offering doesn't represent Christ. It represents us. That's what Pentecost is about. The loaf symbolizes the church. let's just take our, I mean, it symbolizes the church, but let's look at our church. Okay? Everyone here that has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, what do you have in you? Holy Spirit, oil. Right? Now, are you still a sinner? Better believe it, right? We are. We have the Holy Spirit, but we also have sin in our life. I mean, we commit sin. We choose wrongly from time to time. That is a picture of the church. This whole thing, Pentecost for 1,500 years after the Passover, after that first Passover was instituted, it was a picture of what Jesus Christ was going to do. Jesus Christ was going to come and make us vessels that would hold, guess what, the Holy Spirit and a sinful soul that we have, the sin nature that we have. It symbolized the church. Consider what happened that day in the upper room. The individual pieces of corn that were ground together to make flour and make a loaf of bread. 120 or so people individually went up into that room. And the Holy Spirit came down. If you look on the front of your bulletin, that's what that picture is. It's these people in this room, and you see a little tongues of flame coming. That was the Holy Spirit coming into sinful people. And they went up as individuals, and they came down as a church. The church was created on this Pentecost Sunday, 2,000 or so years ago. That was the creation of the church. The church age began. And that is an appropriate Sunday. Jesus Christ did what he came to do. He came back and proved to everyone that he did rise from the dead in victory over sin and death. And he was with people, and then he ascended to the Father, and then he told them, you guys, you 120, you go wait for me. And they were in prayer, and then all of a sudden, something big happens. We have an audible sign. An audible sign in verse 2. Suddenly, a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. So, you know, you get the picture. We're in a room here, okay? They were in a room probably a little bigger than this, I would imagine, if there was 120 people in there. But they were in a room, and they're waiting. They're doing what Jesus said. He said, wait. And they're waiting. They've been praying. And then all of a sudden, this violent wind sound came. Now, I've been in hurricanes many times, and it's pretty crazy sound. And it, you know, it gets your attention. And this is the same thing. It's a violent wind. I mean, you know, you all watch a weather channel. You know, you see, you know, they always put some reporter out there in Florida or South Carolina or somewhere, right? And the guy's hanging on, you know, and it's blowing and the sound and everything. A violent wind. But see, this was a little different. And here's the difference. There was no wind. You know, if a big hurricane wind came in here, man, my notes would go everywhere. All these papers would be flying. Probably, you know, these things would fall down. You know, you'd be hanging on. You know, Abby'd have a hold of her hat, you know, to keep it from blowing off. You know, these screens would be shaking. You know, they were not in a room where stuff was just blowing all around in dirt. They heard wind. They heard wind. The Holy Spirit, this is a type of the Holy Spirit also. What does the wind do? Fills the world. The wind is everywhere, isn't it? It's everywhere. Seems like it's more in the high desert than it is other places, but it is everywhere. It moves at will. You can't contain it. It's very powerful. Okay? It symbolizes the new birth. Look at what Jesus said. This is a passage where Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. Remember, Nicodemus came to him by night, you know, and he says, man, you know, you need to teach me some things. You know, are you from God or whatever? And then we have the famous passage in which John 3:16 is in. Okay, and this is part of that passage. before he goes into "For God so loved the world," but he's talking to Nicodemus about being born again. And he says, "Do not be amazed that I told you that you must be born again." And then look what he uses as the analogy. The wind blows where it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And so here you're in this room, and he's telling them, here the Holy Spirit's going to come, the Comforter's going to come. And this wind, the sound of a wind, but it was not blowing them everywhere. They just heard it. It was very loud. I mean, sometimes when wind blows and you're in a building, it sounds like a freight train going on outside. Very loud. But here's what's key here, folks. It was heard. It wasn't felt. We hear by faith. Hearing comes by faith. We had to hear the Word of God, didn't we? We had to hear truth. Faith comes by hearing, and that by the Word of God. We have to hear, not felt. Because you see, when we're in this world and there are storms and there's problems like what we're going through now, things like that, you may not feel the Holy Spirit working. That doesn't mean He isn't. It's about faith, folks. Sometimes I don't feel like the Spirit's working in me, but I have to know in my mind, my faith tells me that He is. Because why? Because the Bible says. It doesn't matter if I feel it or not. It's like that thing that said, God said it, I agreed with it, and that makes it true. No, God said it, that makes it true. Whether you agree with it or not doesn't settle anything. We hear truth, and that truth is accurate whether you feel like it or not. The Bible says He will never leave me or forsake me. So even though I may be in a place in my walk where I just don't feel like God's there anymore, now I may not feel like He's there, but He's there. It's faith. It's not about feeling. The Holy Spirit, it was an audible sign. It was something they heard. But then following the audible sign was the awesome sight, fire. Fire. It says, and tongues. So suddenly the sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, filled the whole house they were staying at, and tongues like flames of fire that were divided appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Each one of them. Isn't that like God, though? You know what God's way is? God's way is you hear first, then you see. You know what our way is? We want to see it first. Then we'll believe it. But God says, no, you hear. Faith comes by hearing. You're going to hear first. You're going to have faith. You come to a faith in Jesus Christ, and then you know what happens? Then you begin to see what He does in your life after that. That's God's way. Our way is, and especially as Christians, okay, now I got Jesus, I'm good. Now I want to see God, show me where I want to be or where you want me to be, and I'll go there. And He's saying, no, you start moving, and then I'll lead you, and I'll show you where you need to be. It's a whole different thing. But we do like to have it kind of laid out, don't we? Okay, I want God to come down and say, okay, Mike, on this day you need to preach this and do that, and you need to go to this country and witness here and do that. I'd love for Him to map that out for me. But then where does faith come in? He wants us to move in faith. And so I build my relationship with Him, and He leads me to scripture that I preach, or He leads me to a country to visit, or a door to knock to, or a person to talk to. And it's by faith. And then when you actually knock on that door and begin to talk to that person, then sometimes you get to see what God will do in a person's life. It was really cool. I went down to Menifee to visit Pastor Wayne. That was last Thursday, not just now, but a week ago. And I went down there, and on Friday, we went down there, Deb and I went down there on Thursday. We stayed all Saturday with them. They're good friends, and we went golfing. Pastor Wayne and I went golfing, and we got paired up. It was kind of funny. There was these two guys on the putting green, and they're kind of fooling around, young guys, you know, in their late 30s, it appeared. And they're kind of kicking around. I had a Miami Dolphin hat on. And the one guy goes, "Hey, Dolphin fan, you know, whatever." And I go, "Yeah, you know, it's not been great for a long time, but yeah, I am one." And then we got talking. And then he goes, "What's your tee time?" And we said 10:40. And he goes, "Well, that's ours." And so they had paired us together with these two guys. So we get out there, and we're playing, of course, and we're talking and different things. And this one guy's really, really troubled. And he keeps sharing stuff. And God's telling me, "You need to make contact with this guy." And so we got to the end of the round, and we're getting ready to go into the parking lot and stuff. And I had my cards, and I pulled two cards out, and I gave them to each of the young men. And I just said, "Look, you know, I don't believe in coincidences. I don't believe in accidents. I believe this was a divine appointment." And I talked to him a little bit. And that was Friday, and so we said, and they thanked me, and we all left. So then Sunday night, I get a phone call from one of those young men, and he's just pouring his heart out to me, you know, and I'm just talking to him Sunday night, last Sunday. And, you know, where it's going to go, I don't know. But he's in my phone, and I'm in his phone, and we've started a relationship where God's going to take that. But, you know, all I did was hear first God telling me, "You need to connect with these guys." And I obeyed. But then 2 days later, I saw, via phone call, but I saw God work. You know, he says, I've got your card right in front of me, and I just feel like I need to talk to you. You know, and he's got some issues, you know, but got some things going on in his life. And I talked with him for like an hour. You know, you gotta, when that fire hits you, you know, there's things that's gotta change. There's things that's gotta do. It's got to be done. It's faith, but then there's action. Fire does a lot of things. Qualities of fire. It burns. Okay? Fire burns. But you know, when the Holy Spirit is working in you, man, you burn. There's something that burns. You know, what was it Paul said? He said, "I can't help but." But, you know, I tried to contain it, but I can't help but share. It burns. It spreads. You know, fire spreads. You know, when you get a group of people going, you know, it can, you know, the Holy Spirit can go through a whole community, a whole nation, whatever. It purges. Fire purges. Just like back in mostly 1800s, you know, they have smallpox. What would they do? They'd contain it, and then they'd burn. They'd burn the house. They'd burn their clothes. They'd burn everything to purge the disease, right? And you know what the Holy Spirit does? He purges sin from you. Holy Spirit, man, when you commit that sin, you may still do it because you got caught up in the flesh or whatever, but afterwards, man, he's purging. You know, if you're really a Christian, you're going to come to repentance somehow, some way, because he's going to purge the sin from your body, from your being. It also, fire illuminates. And the Holy Spirit illuminates us, doesn't He? When you read the Word, you can understand it. It lights up the Word so that you can understand it. Fire warms us. You know, the Holy Spirit allows us to be warm in a very cold world, a world that would seek to eliminate us, really. But we can burn, and we can be warm, and we can live, we can survive. And then lastly, it smolders. Fire smolders. We're getting ready to go camping up in Utah, and it's at 8,200 feet, this lake. We're going to have campfires because it's still getting down in the 30s at night there, so it's going to be really nice. You get a campfire, you know, and you're burning that campfire, and you let that thing burn for a while, and it just kind of smolders, right? And sometimes in our lives, I think sometimes we kind of let our fire smolder a little bit. You know, it just kind of burns down. We're not as into it or whatever, but it's always there. Holy Spirit's always there. And just like that campfire, you can walk up, that thing almost looks dead, and you can take a stick and stir it up, and poof, flames will come. And you know what? Same within us. When you have the Holy Spirit, yeah, sometimes, you know, the Bible warns us, right? Don't quench the Spirit. Sometimes we kind of quench the Spirit either through fear or ignorance or selfishness or, you know, whatever it might be. But don't quench the Spirit. But you know what? All it takes is God to stir it up a little bit within us and phew. You know, I had some things happen to me a week ago, and it was quenching my spirit. I mean, it really quenched my spirit. But when that young man called me that night, God stirred my spirit up, and I was able to talk to that guy. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, you know, it was like, I couldn't believe that. I was so hurt and down that I didn't think I could even minister. And when I saw who it was when he called me, I was like, really, Lord? Really, you're going to have me minister tonight when I'm feeling like this? And he's like, it's not about your feelings, Mike. It's about what you're supposed to do for me. And I ministered to that guy. What's the result of it? I don't know. I mean, I didn't lead him to the Lord or anything, at least at that point. Maybe I'll get to, but you know what? We had a really good conversation. It's an awesome sight. Can you imagine those tongues coming down, that flame coming? I mean, just think, imagine it right here. If you're just looking around and you're hearing this wind, right? And tongues, and everybody's got one on their head. Wow, you even got one, John. Wow. Man, God is good, isn't He? hadn't seen you in a while. I got to pick on you a little. but man, you know, that had to be something. And they were divided. You know, it said they were split or whatever. And you know what? That I believe a lot of people got a lot of things. But you know what? I believe He's going to use you in more than one way. You know, He's got many things He wants to do in our lives. And that just really brings us to the last point: an amazing spirit. We had an appropriate Sunday, an audible sign, an awesome sight, and an amazing spirit. Verse 4 says, then, okay, let me just go back. Suddenly a sound like that of violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. And tongues like flames of fire that were divided appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Now verse 4, then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different languages as the Spirit gave them ability for speech, or speak in tongues, as it might say in some versions. But here's the deal. This is an amazing Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to serve God. You know, apart from the Spirit, you can't serve God. You can try. But if the Spirit's not in it, you're working hard, not going to get any return. The ability to serve God. You know, the key here in this first part, it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That word filled, listen, the Holy Spirit, He doesn't come in pieces. He's a person. When you got saved, when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came and moved in. He moved into your being. We call it the heart. But He moved in. And you didn't get half of Him. You didn't just get His foot or an arm. You got the Holy Spirit. Okay, so they say, well, then what is this filled with the Spirit? Well, you could just think of the word controlled. They were controlled by the Spirit. Because you see, the question for the Christian today is not how much of the Holy Spirit do you have, it's how much of you does the Holy Spirit have. When you're filled with the Spirit, you are being controlled by Him. Just like, what do we call alcohol? Spirits, right? It's another term for it. And unfortunately in my life, I have been under the control of alcohol before. I mean, I'm not going to stand up here and act like I never did anything. But you know what? I really wasn't in control. I remember those times. I did things I wouldn't normally do. Because that wasn't me. And you know what? When the Holy Spirit's in control, you also do things you don't normally do. Only it's the good way, not the stupid stuff I did. But you do things that you wouldn't normally do. You might go out of your way to help someone or go out of your way to share with someone, a minister to someone. But the point of it is they were under control of the Holy Spirit. And the only part we have in that is we still have free will and we can hold back if we choose. But if you let Him have control, then you're filled. And you're out there doing stuff that you would have never thought you would have done. In a good way. In a good way. Who is in control? It's your choice. Holy Spirit, God wants to do things through your life, through your interactions, through your family, through your influence, sphere of influence, whatever it is. God wants to do something there. But we kind of have we're kind of the gatekeeper in a sense. We can hold back or we can just let Him have us. So He gives us the ability to serve, but He also gives us the ability to share Jesus. And that's, there's some persuasions out there that base everything on the gift of tongues. And I'm not going to go into this, super long, okay? But they'll take a passage like this and say, see there, that's how you know you're saved. That's how you know you got the Holy Spirit. But that's not what this was about. Now, do I believe in tongues? Yeah, because it's in the Bible, okay? You can read a whole chapter of it in Corinthians, okay? Where Paul talks about it. I'm not denying the fact that God can do things with languages. But that's not the point of this. Because what happened here? He gave them the ability, the Spirit gave them the ability for speech. And what happened immediately? What happened immediately after that? They all came out of that upper room. They're speaking these languages. Now remember, what day is it? It is Pentecost. Okay? So what is happening at Pentecost? Jews from all over the world come to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. And there were Jews from all these different countries, probably pretty much representing every language that they knew about back then. And they were there at Pentecost, and these guys come out of this upper room, and they're speaking, and these people are saying, wow, this is amazing. These are just common Jews, and I'm hearing them in my own tongue. And what I believe is, this was the mandate for the church. It's not about the gift of tongues making you holy or special or anything like that. This was a mandate. This was a brand new church. The first thing they did when they got out of that upper room, they came down, they're speaking in what we would call tongues, and all these Jews from all over the world are there, and they're hearing it, and God is saying, you need to witness to them. You need to witness to them. It's still fulfilling Acts chapter 1 where I had Brad read, where he says, "When you will receive power," in verse 8 of chapter 1, "you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you," and what? "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." And then what happens right after that? The upper room, they hear the wind, they see the fire, they are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they begin to speak in languages. Guess what? Church, go out and tell everyone in their language Jesus. I mean, that was it. And in another place, the Bible tells us that the Spirit gives the gifts as He will. As He will. He wants to use you as He will. It is not our choice, it is His choice. There's some have the gifts of giving, some have the gift of mercy, some have the gift of compassion and the gifts of teaching and preaching, evangelism, those kind of things. Those are all manifestations of the Spirit using a person as He will. And look at what happened. Is it time for the church to reignite? And that's where we're at now. But look at what happened. There was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and Peter, they come out of there, and all these people are going, "These guys, man, we're hearing our own tongues." And Peter gets up and preaches a sermon, and 3,000 people get saved and baptized on Pentecost Sunday. Immediately. Does this not tell you what God wants the church to be doing? We're to be sharing the gospel. And God uses a lot of different ways to do that. He uses the Holy Spirit a lot of different ways in us to do that. I believe that if I'm sitting next to somebody and that guy, maybe all he speaks is French, and if God wants me to witness to him, I think God can do it today. I think I can say, "Hey, do you know Jesus?" That guy's going to hear me. He's going to understand me. If God wants to use me that way, he can. I believe that can happen. But what I have found is most of the people I talk to speak English. So I don't need that gift. I mean, why would I need it? Talking to a guy that speaks English just like I do. Don't need it. So why you got a whole church speaking in tongues when everybody in the church speaks English? Doesn't make sense. No, we're supposed to be out there just sharing. And if you happen to run into somebody that speaks another language, maybe God will use you that way, maybe He won't. But that's up to Him, not you. So he goes out, and right away 3,000 people get saved. And I think, you know, it was like an exclamation point on the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and now Pentecost Sunday. You got your marching orders. I've given you the power. You know, what did he say? He said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses." And that was the beginning of the church. And from there, it spread, as we know, you know, through the disciples, through Paul, through many others, through the ages, it spread like a fire. So I said, this is a time for the church to reignite, and I think that's the significance of Pentecost Sunday. I think it's kind of neat after this craziness that church kind of was shut down, not really, but you know, not like we want. But now we're back, and I think we're probably a little more appreciative that we could do this. You know, than maybe we were before, but to what end? For what reason? And I think we need to reignite. What is God doing? And I'm sure he's doing many things on many levels. You know, it's been my experience with God. When he's doing something in my life, I can see how it affects me, but I can also see that he's working on a lot of levels other than just me. You know, we got to get not quite so myopic, nearsighted. Not so nearsighted, all we look at is ourselves. No, we need to realize there's a bigger picture. God's working on a lot of levels. And yes, this has been a time to reflect, and I think it's good. Sometimes you do need to do that, what is it, Psalm 42 or something, be still and know that I am God. You know, there's a time to be still and just let kind of God minister. So there's a time to reflect upon Pentecost 2,000 years ago, and a time to reflect on what God's doing today as well. But it's also a time to reignite. Just as the Holy Spirit used Peter, so he wants to use the church today. We're to be salt, and we were talking about, I was with Jim before the service, and talking about being salt and light. We're to be salt and light. We're to be sharing the gospel. We're to be serving. So as today is a new start for us in worship, let it also be a new start for us in our ministry to this community. This is where we're called. We're placed in a church in this location with these people living around us. This is where we are to be having impact with our neighbors. Wherever you live, whatever city you live. We got people here that live in Victorville. We got people in Phelan, people in Pinyon. Probably people from Adelanto. Okay? But wherever you live, that's where you're to be salt and light. That's where God has you. And where our church is, that is where this church is to be salt and light, right here in this community. So let's go forward in faith and in the power of the Holy Spirit and see what God will do in us as individuals, in our church, and in all of our sphere of influence, the areas where we rub shoulders with people. We need to... I think the church has been smoldering, just in general. And we need to, I think maybe God wants to use this thing, whatever you want to call it. I hate the word pandemic. I've heard it too many times. But, you know, if he wants to use that to stir us up, then so be it. But I think we needed to be stirred up. So God has lit us up. So let's be on fire for Jesus. You know, there's a lot of people out there just like that young man. Seemed like he was so happy and, you know, we were having fun and everything, but then he started sharing. You know, what led him to share with me? A Miami Dolphins hat? Really? God can even use a Miami Dolphins hat to ignite a conversation that could change someone's life. You just got to be willing to do it. Got to be willing to talk. Got to be willing to share. Got to be willing to allow that person to take some of your time. I mean, what better way to spend time than to share someone the truth that might change your life? Question now is: do you have the Spirit? You may be someone watching online, maybe someone in the parking lot, maybe someone in here that you've heard all this power, Holy Spirit, but you've never experienced it because you've never accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. I hope you would do that today if you never have. For the rest of us, got a question for you. Who's in control? Is the Holy Spirit or are you? In the things that you do, in the things that you say, in the way that you serve, who is in control? You or the Holy Spirit? That's a question we all have to ask. Last question would be for us, are you ready to be used in a great and mighty way? God, you know, God wants to use us. He didn't die just so that we could have a club on Sunday. You know, I'm not accusing this of having a club. I'm saying there's purpose in the church, for the church. And he wants to use us in a great and mighty way. So those are some things to reflect on, I guess. Are you ready to play, Kathy? Okay. We haven't done this in a while, so we're... It's amazing. So we can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anybody here who would say, Brother Mike, I have never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? Never done that. For the rest of us, how many would say, Brother Mike, I kind of battle this control thing. I take control more often than I should, and I need to work on that. Anybody like that, just slip your hand. I want to pray for you. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. How many would say, my fire's been smoldering a little bit, and maybe this has stirred it up, and I'm ready to burn a little brighter now. Anybody like that? God bless you. I see that hand. Amen. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you, and we thank you for Pentecost. We thank you for what it symbolizes. We thank you, Lord, for you working in us, that we would be on fire for you. Father, I pray for these that raise their hand. I pray, Lord, for those that do not know Christ as Savior, Lord, I pray that you would speak to them in their hearts. Those that don't know you, Lord, I pray you would put that unction within them, that there's more to this life than just this physical world we live in. There's a whole other dimension that you're a part of, that you're inviting them to. And Lord, I pray you would give them the courage to make a change, the courage to seek you, and the faith to believe in you. Father, help us all to be on fire. Help us all, Lord, to be looking for the opportunities that you bring our way, that we would be profitable servants of yours. Father, thank you for Jesus Christ, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. Just reflect for a moment while the music plays. Just if you, maybe you heard something today that struck you and you just need to think about it. Just take a few moments. Let God minister to you. Father, Lord God, we thank you for the truth of your word. Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming together today in worship. And we ask you, Lord, to move in a mighty way in our lives, that Jesus would be lifted up, that you would be glorified, and that men and women, boys and girls, would come to know Christ as their Savior. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.